In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. For him, O Lord, we praise you, who fell to Herod's sword. He drank your cup of suffering and thus fulfilled your word. Lord, curb our vain impatience for glory and for gain, and nerve us for such sufferings as glorify your name. Amen. Do you really think that this is what James had in mind when he and his brother said that they were able to drink the cup that Jesus was to drink? Do you honestly believe that at this moment in his life, James could see beyond that day to that dark Friday outside of Jerusalem? From that day with the Lord there, was James able to see the scourging that our Lord would receive? Did he see the spikes that would be driven through his hands and his feet? Did James hear the blows of that hammer? Did James see that crown of thorns that was driven down upon Jesus' sweat-streaked brow? Did James really see the cup of the Lord's suffering? I honestly believe that James and his brother didn't anticipate any of that. You see, James and his brother John are just like you and me. They're sinful human beings. You know, they'd been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, and thus, well, they deserved a higher place. They deserved a seat of honor, didn't they? Now, in Mark's gospel, James and John themselves asked the question of Jesus. But here in Matthew, we have Mom. When in doubt, bring out the big guns. Why not get Mom to do it for you? She's going to carry more weight anyways. But all we have here is a case of selfish pride rearing its ugly head. And we know that James and John were not alone in those prideful feelings, as we heard in the gospel lesson that the other 10 were indignant when they heard what James and John asked, indicating to us that perhaps they were thinking of asking the same question. But James and John were the only ones that had the nerve to ask it, or perhaps to have somebody ask it for them. Selfish pride rears its ugly head. And pride is one of those seven deadly sins. It's one that Jesus himself lists when he speaks of what defiles a person. In Mark chapter 7, and Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Evidently, James and John had also forgotten the parable of the rich young man who simply asked what he needed to do to be saved. And Jesus says, "Give up everything. Sell it all, give the money to the poor, and follow me." Evidently, James forgot where Jesus said, "Many who are first will be last, and many who are last, first." James is no different than you and me. We too desire the places of honor. "Hey, how'd you do on the midterm?" "Oh, well, I got this grade." You know, After the last time I preached in chapel, I bet you I had 30 people come up to me and compliment me on how great my sermon was. We want people to see us. And we want them to say, wow, I want to be like you. There was a young man who had decided to enter the holy ministry. He had just finished his first semester of college, and at college that he was attending was closing, so he had to transfer. And it was then that he decided that he was going to go into the pre-seminary program. And he ran into his pastor's office, and he said, Pastor, I've decided to be a pastor. And his pastor's simple reply was, why? Why do you want to be a pastor? Is it because you get to sit up front every Sunday morning and get to have people watch you do what you do? Is it you get to actually have people who will listen to what you want to say? Or is it because you want people calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning that their husband had just had a heart attack and has been taken to the hospital? Or that they just received a phone call that their son was killed in the war? This young man was taken aback. His pastor asked him, consider why you want to be a pastor. Is it for you, or will people see the cross? In my work, do people see me, or do people see the cross? The sin of self-glorification, of pride, really obscures the outlook of the Christian. So often, we don't have time to see the cross. And when we can't see the cross, and by that cross I mean the crucifix, that cross that marked us at holy baptism, that cross that marks us in the words of holy absolution, that cross that physically touches us as we receive the body and blood of our Lord in his holy supper. When we can't see that cross, we lose sight of our own need for the forgiveness of sins. I think this is what James saw, especially on that dark Friday outside of Jerusalem. After witnessing Jesus' crucifixion, he realized what Jesus meant when he said, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. James there realized the cup that he was to take up on the Lord's behalf. There he realized what it meant when Jesus asked him, are you able to drink of this cup? But he'd also had more time with Jesus. He'd spent some more time learning and being taught by him. And all those things that Jesus told him about dying and rising on the third day now made sense to him. He saw why Jesus had to give his life. Because only God himself could take away the sins of the world. James also, as he witnessed the crucifixion of Christ, realized more so the words of Isaiah the prophet when he wrote, all our righteous acts are as filthy rags. James knew that there was no way that he could make up for the wrongs that he had done, for the sins that he had committed. He saw that only Jesus Christ himself, with the water and blood that flowed from his pierced side, could remove that blindness caused by pride. And again, my dear friends, you and I are no different. But that's okay, because Jesus died for us as well. We've seen the suffering servant. We've seen what he has done on our behalf. We've seen James, and we see what happened to him as he served the cause of the gospel. Immediately following our text in Matthew 20 is a story of where Jesus healed the two blind men outside of Jericho. And they cried out as he approached, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon us." And the crowd tried to push him back. They said, "Get out of the way. He's got more important things to do." And Jesus himself could have said that. He said, "I'm the Lord of the church. I don't have time to spend with blind people." But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus had compassion on them. And he asked them, "What would you have me to do?" And they said, "Lord, we want our sight." And he came to them and gave them their sight. Our blindness, our pride, our self-glory, whatever pet sin we might have, can only be removed, can only be washed away by the one who came to us, by the one who still comes to us in his word and sacrament, by the one who humbled himself and took all sins upon himself and nailed them to the cross, who became obedient unto death, yes, that death on the cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him to the highest place and has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess of those things on the earth, above the earth, and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That washing away for you and for me took place at the font. It was there that we took up the cup of Jesus. But there we receive the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, and that washing that continues to cleanse us each and every day through the drowning of the old Adam that is in us. That each day, as we walk in the chapel, as we hear the word proclaimed before us, that we might remember what James remembered, that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. Thanks be to God that we have the example of St. James, who did indeed, from that day that we have him in our gospel reading today, to that day when he fell to Herod's sword, we saw him grow into a faith that he was willing to suffer all, even death, rather than forsake it. Thanks be to God that by his grace, James saw through his own selfish motives to the cross of Calvary, there where Jesus died not only for his sins, but for the sins of the entire world. Thanks be to God that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then let us praise the Father, and worship God the Son, and sing to God the Spirit, eternal three in one, till all the ransom number fall down before the throne, ascribing power and glory and praise to God alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.